Today we turn to the letter, the book of James. If you're looking for it, it's after Hebrews, but before Peter and John. We're going to the end of the book, to chapter 5, reading the last few verses. But before we begin our reading, let us ask for help. Let us pray. Come, O Holy Spirit, and open our minds to hear your wisdom. Open our hearts to love you more. Open our lips in praise and in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. James writes these words to the church. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. For the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, for the Word of God in Scripture. Thanks be to God. Here we stand at the end of the book of James. James has talked about wisdom. James has talked about the way we speak. James has talked about what genuine faith leads us to do, not just to believe. James has talked about the divisions within the Christian community, and here at the end of the letter, James encourages us to pray. After all that he said, as the final note, as the concluding chord of his letter, he encourages the community to pray. What kinds of prayer, you ask? Prayers in times of suffering, prayers in times of joy, prayers in times of sickness, prayers in times of sin and confession. Prayers not just for yourself, but praying for one another. And he concludes by saying that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker says, push, pray until something happens. Here at the end of James, that seems to be the message, pray until something happens, and if it hasn't happened yet, pray again and keep on praying. If you want to learn how to pray, you've heard me say it before, the only way to learn how to pray is to pray, pray, pray. And if you learn nothing else from me as your pastor, learn that prayer is important. It's the reason I write a blog, a prayer blog, at least 3 times a week. It's the reason why every day I wrap my day in prayer. It's the reason why I send out those emails to not just you, but to 300 other people, inviting them to pray for one another. to pray for our world. It's the reason I agree to join with Christian brothers and sisters at the courthouse steps praying for our country on September 11th. It's the reason that I gather with you and we pray every Sunday. May actually be my new favorite part of worship when we pray. Prayer is perhaps one of the most important things the Christian community can do. And did you notice that at the end of this book, after James has talked about divisions and things that keep the Christian community at odds one another, he says that we must pray. That indeed, through our prayers, we are united with the heart of God. The prayers of the righteous are powerful. James goes on to point us to one who prayed like that, one whom he says is just like us. I don't know if you've looked in the mirror lately, but I don't think I look anything like Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God, called by God, used in mighty and powerful ways to shape the faith of Israel. And James says, you're just like him. You're just like Elijah. And when Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, guess what? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. California wouldn't appreciate that prayer right now. But when he prayed again, guess what? The rains came, and James says, you're just like that. Your prayers matter. So he challenges us to pray. And so we do. We pray in times of trouble. In a minute, when we call for our prayer concerns, when I come among you and ask, for whom and for what we pray, I'm sure you will give me names of those that are in deep difficulty, deep pain, recovering in hospital beds, anticipating surgeries, and for them we will pray. We pray to God in times of trouble. James says it's not enough to pray when you're in trouble. You should also rejoice in times of goodness, in times of cheerfulness, that our prayers should also include our praise. And so we do. We give thanks to God for God's abundant blessing. We give thanks to God for the grace that we enjoy every day. We praise God, for God is good. James invites us to pray when we're sick. But this is an interesting part of James' letter. He says it's on the sick person. It's my responsibility when I'm sick to call the elders. Now, we have shepherd elders in our congregation. I hope you know who's yours is. And when you're sick, I challenge you, I encourage you, reach out to the elders, not just to the preacher, but to the elders of this congregation, for they pray for you. Call on the elders. Invite them to come and pray and anoint you with oil. Now, we don't do a whole lot of anointing in the Presbyterian Church, but it's not because we can't. Every time I go and visit you in the hospital room, you'll hear me say, I'm going to touch your shoulder and we're going to pray. There's something important about that physical touch. It's the thing that makes me so uncertain when I talk to Ann McDuffie on the phone. I can't reach through the phone and grab her shoulder and pray for her. But I can pray on the phone. And maybe God's hand touches her anyway. But there's one part of this passage that I find troublesome. And it's not so much what James had written, but rather the reality of my lived prayer life. Because you have prayed, and I have prayed, and sometimes what we pray for seems to go unanswered. Sometimes we pray just as hard as Elijah prayed, and yet things don't change. Sometimes we pray day in and day out for hours on end, and death still comes. Sickness still hangs in the air. What then, James? Was my life not righteous enough? Was it something wrong with me? Was my prayer not strong enough? Did I not beg with the right kinds of words? Was my faith in God not strong enough? What about those times when God seems silent? If I have any wisdom at 38 years old, I don't know that I have much, but this was what I would say. Pray anyway. In those times when it seems that God is not listening, the reality is, the witness of Scripture is that God does care, that God does hear the cries of His people. So pray anyway. When you don't seem to be getting the answer that you want, pray anyway. Maybe it's time to turn to a different theologian. One who puts words into song. And see what she has to say.
You can spend your whole life building something from nothing. One storm can come and blow it all away. Build.
Theologian Martina McBride is, but I think she has the right idea in that song. Part of prayer, maybe the most important part, is our faith that God indeed is great, that God is listening, and that God cares for us, even when it seems that God is absent. So we pray anyway. We put our faith and the one who cares, the one who acts on our behalf. And we pray. Because prayer either changes the world, or maybe it changes us. But we pray anyway. So today I challenge you to be bold in your prayers. Praying not selfish prayers just for you, but praying on behalf of the world. That we have an opportunity to stand between this broken world and a loving God. And so we pray. We pray anyway. Because we know that God is great. That God has acted with compassion in the past. And that the cross of Christ demonstrates God's love for us. So we pray anyway. to do anything less would suggest that we don't trust God. So let us pray. Loving God, we come into Your presence in deep gratitude for Your love for us. For You have been with us in times of crisis. You have celebrated with us in times of joy. And in those times when it seems You're silent, we hold on to our faith in You. For we can tell story after story of how You have acted in the past. Today, O God, we pray not for ourselves, but we pray for others. And so I ask You, children of God, for whom and for what should we pray today? Tell me. We pray for Barry White, O God. You know his needs. For Anthony Thomas. For Morgan Johnson. Lord, hear our prayer. For Peggy Jessup and for Ann. Lord, hear our prayer. For Edgar Evans. Lord, hear our prayers. For our country. Lord, hear our prayers. For Bobby Simmons, Lord, hear our prayer. For Carter Devon, Lord, hear our prayer. For Jim Burney, Lord, hear our prayer. For a daughter and a son-in-law to be, to put God first in their lives, Lord, hear our prayers.
Our educators.
For educators. Lord, hear our prayers.
For students.
For students. Lord, hear our prayers. For our church. Lord, hear our prayers. For prayer in our schools. Lord, hear our prayers. For our law enforcement officers, Lord, hear our prayers. For all first responders, Lord, hear our prayers.
Reed Taylor.
For Reed Taylor, Lord, hear our prayers. For hospice nurses and workers and doctors, Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we trust that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And we dare not claim to be righteous, but we do pray. We pray on behalf of the world. We pray that You would use these prayers, our hands and feet, to make a difference for Christ's sake. In the lives of those we meet this day and indeed every day. In the name of the One who alone is righteous, whose prayers are always effective, Christ our Lord. Amen.